All right, I want to welcome all of you all that are here and all of you all that are listening to this podcast. This is Cross Cultural Church, Tuesday noon Bible study. Your facilitator for today will be the minister Gerald, no middle name, Alford, from Birmingham, Alabama. And I am here today in the book of Acts. We're in chapter 16. And what we're going to do just a slight bit different today is I'm going to give an overview of chapter 16, and then we're going to jump right into it. So we're going to know the direction that we're going, every side street and path, and then we're going to start the journey. And I'm reading from Matthew Henry's commentary. So if you all have don't have any Bible aids, the Matthew Henry commentary is one good one to have. And so I'm going to go ahead on and just read this, and we're going to jump into chapter 16 and verse 1. But here's the overview. It is some rebuke to Barnabas that after he left Paul, we hear no more from him of what he did or suffered for Christ. But Paul, as he was recommended by the brethren to the grace of God, so his service for Christ after this is largely recorded, and thusly so. We are to attend him in this chapter from place to place. Wherever he came, he did good, either watering or planting, beginning a new work or improving what was done. The first part is we're going to deal with is the beginning of his acquaintance with Timothy. And taking him to be an assistant. This would be verses 1 through 3. The next thing we're going to see, the visit that he made to the churches for their establishment, would be in verses 4 and 5. His call to Macedonia after a restraint he had been under from going to some other places, and his coming to Philippi, the chief city of Macedonia, and his entertainment there. That's his verses 6 through 13. The conversion of Lydia there, 14 and 15, the casting of an evil spirit out of a damsel in 16 through 18, the accusing and abusing of Paul and Silas for that, their imprisonment, the indignities that are done to, that were done to them, that's 19 through 24, and the miraculous conversion of the jailer to the faith of Christ. That's 25, verses 25 through 34, and the honorable discharge of Paul and Silas by the magistrates, 35 through 40. So, are we in for a treat?
In for a treat.
We are in for a treat. So, let's dive right in. So, now we got the overview. That's what we're looking at. All right. Verse 1. Then came he to Derbe and to Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jew, Jewish, and believed, but his father was a Greek. So isn't it interesting? They always got to break down. So you would know that out of his heritage, he got two different schools of thought, right? You got two different schools of thought here. Verse 2, which was well reported by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconia. 3, him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. Any comments on that?
Did that because they were probably going back to the Galatians where they were insisting that he had to obey the law. And because his father was Greek, you know, the Greeks weren't under the law, but he wanted Timothy to be accepted by the Jews.
All right, and his mother was.
Yes.
So again, the reason that they brought that up was you got two things going on here. You got the pull from the mom, and then you got the freedom that he had with his dad. So you're seeing here Paul is saying, what we're going to have to do, we got to be prepared for it. Now, in the other cases here, what was the difference?
Which case are you talking
about? Or when they were saying about you don't have to worry about being circumcised.
Oh, they were not. They didn't have a Jewish heritage.
Right. So you see what's happening when you look at it, you say, well, now why is he doing this when the last chapter we had such a big confrontation about you're not going to have to go through being circumcised? Well, the difference was you got Gentile people who really didn't even know anything about that at all. They were trying to back them up completely. And see, they were like fresh. They were on fresh ground. And it was all about being free in Christ. Here you got Timothy, who had a Jewish mother and a Greek dad. So, you know, he already was in the mix. All right. I just wanted to make sure we had an understanding, because I know if you're looking at that and say, well, why did you circumcise him? And then we just got through having a big ordeal with circumcision in the last chapter. All right. Verse 4. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and the elders, which were at Jerusalem. So now what they're doing is, as they're going back through the cities that they had already brought the word, they're taking back what I would just call it a conference of what the group of people that had the revelation of Christ and what they should and shouldn't do. They're bringing it back and reaffirming it with the people. All right. 5. And so were the churches established in faith and increased in numbers daily. Boy, that I'm just excited because what we have here is, again, everywhere they're going and they're spreading the word, it's fire, and people are receiving the word and they're moving forward with it. All right. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden by the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now this, so they had a revelation not to go over there and preach. All right, verse 7. After they would come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Okay, so we got two areas that they were not allowed to go in as of yet. 8. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to
Troas.
9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and praying him, saying, come over unto Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we devoured to go unto Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. What do y'all see about 6, 7, 8, and 9?
Well, the first thing in 6 and 9. 6 and 7, they were sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was not permitting them. The grace wasn't there for them to go.
Ah, okay.
Let me say it that way.
Right.
So they didn't want to go without God being, well, He's going to be with them, but without His grace preparing the people, because He prepares the people to receive the word.
Absolutely.
So he said, no, they're not ready. I guess that's what he's saying. I'm saying that.
Okay.
And then to paraphrase what Joe's saying, then the other 6 and 7, and the latter part of it, the difference is the fact that the vision from about the guy from Macedonia, he adhered to that particular vision, because that particular vision was indicated to him by God. So he was obedient.
Absolutely. And I want us to as being Bible students, I want us to understand that our prayer life is still important. Amen. You know, you can have a drive to go do something and have a burning to get something done, but you need to let the Spirit of the Lord reveal to you the timing, and because timing is everything, about when to go and where to go. And just because everything had been going good doesn't mean that you just got to, you know, barrel on in everywhere. You know, that's why being prayerful and considering letting the Spirit of God lead you and guide you into all truth is very, very important. I can tell you a story about a time I decided I was going to go downtown because the little Five Points and do some things. But I went on my own. You know, instead of having the regular guys that, you know, I just got fired up one morning. I'm going down there with my Bible, boy. And it was a rough time. I ain't going to tell you all the stuff that happened, but it wasn't all that. And so when I came back and I fell on my knees and was talking to God about it, he said, well, you know, you didn't go through it the right way. You know, I understand your heart, but you really didn't ask, number one. You just got up and went. And you went by yourself. And even when you look in the scriptures, they sent people out two by two. And it's not to say that you can't evangelize on your own, but when you're going out like that sometimes, you really need to have a support base. You know, if you just in your neighborhood and you pretty, you know everybody there pretty much, and that's a different environment than going out into the field. You really need to have somebody praying for you, have somebody with you. Portia?
And that's, I always was taught that and believe that, and I still do today. But there was one time where the Lord called me to go to a specific nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
And I had gone, and I had a spiritual daughter that I was discipling. And she said, oh, can I go, Mother Portia? And I said, I had to pray about that. I really didn't. But I said, I'll get back to you. Meanwhile, I ran into two other sisters who were going to that same nursing home, and I said, and they said, well, why don't we just all go together? And the Lord told me no. He said, I sent you. And that was the first time. The second time, it was two times he sent me out by myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I don't advocate anybody do that. Always be prayerful, because he made it very clear when those other two sisters said, well, let's go. And he said, I heard it just as clear as I'm talking to you. He said, no, I'm sending you.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that's what I'm saying. Be prayerful about mm-hmm. what you want to do evangelistically. You may have a burden, but pray about it. And God will give you a release to go if you're to go. And be sensitive about who he brings into your sphere of influence to go with you in certain times. Like, again, a nursing home, you know, you got a group there. That's different than going to Little Five Points. So you going to take off down to a football game, and you're going to stand there with a bullhorn, and, you know, you're going to try to get people saved. And, you know, there's some things you need to have some wisdom about. Amen?
Mm-hmm. And I just want to, one thing, and here in 6-9, you see two times where they wanted to go somewhere, and the Holy Spirit did not allow them to go.
Right.
And when you study this through the history of Paul, Paul, and his ministry, this is traditionally called the Macedonian call.
Mm. Yeah, because and for sure, they've been stopped twice, but the vision revealed where they should go.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and we're gonna see what happens when they go, because God is orchestrating something. Amen.
I want to back up with Portia. We had a prison ministry, and we were getting women together to go to the prison to minister to the women. And about a few of the women that were on our list, you know, we prayed about it, and we just talked it over with the pastor, and the pastor said, well, these two can't go. And the reason he said that, he said they're not strong enough to go there and talk to the women or the men. We were doing both. Mm-hmm. And he said one of the women had started a relationship with a man in prison. So mm-hmm. you just have to be mindful and prayerful, yes. really, and that comes in, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. it's definitely yeah. need to pray.
Yeah.
Well, you need to have the call to do that. Now, I've done prison and youth yeah. ministry, and if you don't have the call of God to do it, it's yeah. it's just not something everybody can just go into, because they're just not sensitive to all the things. You can get caught up real quick because they're smart and savvy, and they'll have you thinking something, that's you know, because that's just what they do. You know, you have to know what you come to do and mm-hmm. be seriously right. focused on doing yeah. it, because they can get you off your game if you start listening to them.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's move on. Verse 11, therefore, loosing from Troas, they went with a straight course to Samothracia, mm-hmm. and the next day to Neapolis. Neapolis. Boy, I want to work on this, but you know. And from there to Philippi, I'll hack it up in a minute. And from there to Philippi, which was the chief city in that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. 13. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by the riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spoke unto women which were resorted thither or there. All right, so things starting to open up, right? 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart of the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of. So now think about this. They wanted to go to two other places, right? Mm-hmm. God said, no, don't go over there. He sent them a vision. And now on their way and getting into where they need to be, who did they run into? Lydia. They run into Lydia. Mm-hmm. Now, Lydia wasn't broke. Lydia wasn't poor. But she had a heart for God. All right? And what else did she have? She had influence. Y'all see that? She's got influence. She's a seller of purple. You know, so she got customers. She got people who know who she is. She's got influence. All right? And she attended to the word. She worshiped God as best she knew how. And when she heard the word, that just was like watering what had been planted and what she was doing. So what you see next in 15. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide here. And she constrained us. Now look what happened. They missed two places, but here her whole house got baptized. It said, now, isn't that something? Mm-hmm. And see, God, divine appointment. So what it said, a delay is not a denial, right?
Right.
You know, and God may have something better for you. He said, I really wanted to go over there, Lord. Why you won't let me? God said, I got a plan for you. Just hold on. Right?
Yeah.
That's for y'all. This group don't march ahead of the Lord. So if you're thinking about striving ahead, wait on the Lord. The Lord's got something good for you.
Amen.
All right. 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us. Y'all do know what divination means. Mm-hmm. Alright? Of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Mm-hmm. Alright? Y'all know what soothsaying? Mm-hmm. Divination. Mm-hmm. Fortune telling. Mm-hmm. Palm reading.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. 17. The same awful Paul and us cried and saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now, hey, she's soothsaying and got divination going, but she called it out, didn't she?
She sure did.
She called that one out. She said, hey, I know y'all. I can see some things.
She's right on that one.
She's on it. And this did she many days. Now, I like this. Now, she falling behind them calling them out now. Mm-hmm. Hey, guys, they got the way to salvation. So they get they like, wait a minute. All right. She did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour.
Mm-hmm.
We've been given power to tread over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy so that nothing shall by any means hurt. We have power to bind and loose. Amen?
Amen.
All right. And when her servants saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. Now they like, man, our gold mine, you messing with my money now. We were doing good till y'all done messed the stuff up. So they bringing them back to the marketplace and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. Does that sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
They stirring up trouble here.
Right.
We got things just like we like it here, and here they come. Here they come, messing it up. There's always somebody on high places want to keep things going where they getting the benefit, but somebody's being used in the meantime, right?
Right.
And teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans.
Mm-hmm.
They said, look, we free from all of that. We don't have to do all this stuff them Jewish folk do. They here talking about now we got to pray. We got to believe that there's a Savior. Look, we from Rome. There ain't but one high man. We bow down to him. That's it. All right. 22. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrate rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. What happens today? They put you on Instagram, Facebook, and they dog you out.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
They harass you on the phone, on your, mm-hmm. they send you emails. Same day persecution, just different way.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And when they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them in the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. If you don't want to go through nothing, you know what you got to do, right? Just be a closet Christian. Hello? I'm just saying.
I'm not certain the closet Christian going to get away with
it. Elder said the closet Christian he got to come out of the closet,
he
right?
Where you live.
He said he's still going to. You can't stay in the closet forever, so when you come out, you still go get it.
You coming in the closet. You're right about that.
24. Who saying received such a charge, he thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. So he said, look, when they said keep them safe, they took them to the inner part and chained them. And chained them. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. And sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them.
Oh my goodness! Mm.
Don't be afraid to call it out.
Mm-hmm.
Go on, sing that song in Zion.
Amen.
Somebody gonna get some encouragement.
Amen.
See, that's you know what I like about this. When I look at this, whenever you're going through in life, and people looking at you go through, what do they need to see? They need to see you holding fast to your profession.
Right.
They need to see you going through in the midst. Now, surely it says some of these things we're going through ain't going to be good, but the outcome going to work out for you. But somebody's watching you.
Amen.
And then they going to go through, and if you don't have no hope, they ain't going to have none either.
Amen. Amen.
So, you know, people got to see us with some hope.
Especially during the times that we're going through family crisis. Ooh. They looking right at you. Okay, mm-hmm. You're supposed to be a Christian. You know, what you going to do? You know, they're looking at you, seeing this in their spirit. You know.
All right. And suddenly, ooh, I love that. like a mighty rushing wind. We went through that suddenly a little while, right? And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. All right. Well, look, can your prayer shake some foundation? Huh? Can your song in Zion loose some bonds? All right. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Mm-hmm. He like, I might as well go ahead on and kill myself now, because I already know what's getting ready to happen. If they gone, I'm dead. And look, he wasn't going to die an easy death. He said, I might as well just go and kill myself, because they going to torture me.
Really?
It's going to be a bad situation coming here now. Verse 28, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light. He called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Boy, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved?
That's beautiful there. Testimony.
That's awesome.
Uh-huh. I told y'all it was going to get good. Uh-huh. But look. What we're seeing right here, everybody's excited, right?
Right.
But it wasn't no excitement in getting beat.
No.
Huh? Wasn't nothing exciting about being thrown in a... No. Do y'all think it was nice and clean where they got thrown?
No.
Now, do you think where they were was just like the Hilton?
No.
Oh, man, it was worse than being on the street. They didn't have no bathrooms and stuff down there. Oh, it was horrible.
Awful.
Yeah.
Awful. But you see God get the glory out of that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So sometime in that hospital room, sometime at your home, sometime out, it's going to be bad. But God is going to get the glory out of it. You can't look at the circumstance, but you got to look at God.
Amen.
Amen. I want us to understand some things going to happen, but God going to get the glory if we, what? Faint not. They could have gave up, man. Backs toe all out, man. They here smelling bad in the situation here, man. They could have said, you know, this thing is rough. But no, they sang praises. And somebody heard it. And he fell down. And he said, what must I do? 31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Why the house going to be saved?
Going to share.
That's right. The house going to be saved because they going to get to hear the revelation of it. And can a house understand because they know you?
Got
right?
Testimony.
All of us that got kids, our kids know.
Yeah, they know.
They know. Mm-hmm. They watched us.
They were raised.
That's right. So when you go in there and preach that thing, it's on them. And it said they can be saved too. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. Now, I like that part. So evidently, they had a chance to minister to his house. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right. That just shows that when God delivers you or heals you, you can't keep it to yourself.
Yes.
You got to tell somebody. Somebody else going to get it too.
Yes.
Well, I would ask this. Is it really about you or is it really about others?
It's about others.
Mm-hmm.
It's about others.
Come on in. It's about others.
It's about others.
Right? Mm-hmm. So what we go through and what God bring us out of, it's about others.
Right.
All right. Verse 33. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and was baptized, and he and all his straightway. So look what happened. Out of the situation, we're in Acts 16 and verse 33. All right? And he took them the same hour, and he washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and his whole house, right then. So what happens we see now is that they had got beaten. So the jailer takes them home, starts to put oil on them, you know, mm-hmm. you know, start to attend to the wounds, because you know when you get beat with stripes, mm-hmm. it tears your back out. And so they get the healing. Now they baptize the whole house, the whole jailer's house gets saved. They get healed, get the healing going on. 35. No, 34. And when he had brought them forth into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. So now look, God done came through, they done got fed, they got medical attention, right? The man's house and got saved. They done got baptized. Mm-hmm. It's some joy going on. All right. 35. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the surgeon saying, "Let those men go." And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, "The magistrates have sent us to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." 37. But Paul said unto him, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and cast us into prison, and now they thrust us out of the jail. No, let them come themselves and get us out."
Wow.
Now that's strong talk. Now he's saying, hey, they gonna send y'all down here to tell us that when they weren't supposed to do that in the first place.
But I like 36, because the keeper of the prison, God took care of him too.
Yeah,
right.
He did.
Because normally he would have been, like you were saying, he would have been killed. Because he let the prisoners escape.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But God put it on the heart of the magistrates. Just let them go.
Just let them go.
So they didn't know. They didn't even know what had happened.
Mm-hmm. But he again, he said, no. Paul's saying, wait. Now, all of this just can't go down like that. Y'all just going to let us go now, but y'all done beat us. Y'all done dog us out in front of all these folk. And let them come to get us out. 38. And the surgeons told these words unto the magistrate, and what happened?
They feared.
And they feared when they heard that they were Romans. Mm-hmm. Now see, they thought when they did that they were Jewish people. Mm-hmm. They didn't know that Paul was a Roman citizen.
Mm-hmm. See,
He had a Roman background. Mm-hmm. So see, they couldn't do that to Romans. Mm-hmm. But see, they didn't know that. They thought that hey, they were just coming down there as Jewish folk, you know, trying to get people converted, and then because they had caused them a deficit in the pocket of these hustlers, you know, that they were just gonna do them in.
Right.
Let me I'm gonna move to the right a little bit. It's kind of like you got speed traps set up in these little towns, and you go through there, and they say, oh, you speeding. But the person that you said speeding is a official himself. So he's saying, what y'all talking about? No, you going down to jail. So you get down to jail and they get ready to book you in, and now all of a sudden they find out when they look at your ID that you're an official. It's like, okay, we gonna let you go. Paul saying, no, y'all got something crooked going on down here. And so you're going to have to come down here and get this straightened out. And so when he told them that and they went back, that's when they got scared. They're like, uh-oh, now we in big trouble, because you're not supposed to do that. All right? 39. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. Is that some humility? They came down there and tried to make amends.
I think they wanted to keep them quiet.
I would think so too.
They want to tell
because the Roman emperor wasn't gonna have it.
Right.
No, because the Roman law said if you are convicted of a crime, you had to stand before the court.
Right.
Before any punishment could take place.
Right.
So when they found out they were Roman, they know they didn't do that. They were about their head.
That's right. There was going to be some repercussions about it. All right. In verse 40, and they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. All right, that ends chapter 16, and for you all that just came in kind of late, 16 got a lot of good parts in it, and we have to, one, understand that God will orchestrate your life.
Amen.
And just because you want to do something, you always need to see God's face about what it is that you should do. God knows better than you. And so as we see here in verses 6 and 7, we saw that they wanted to go and preach somewhere, but God said, no, not yet, because he really wanted them to go to Macedonia. So when he told them twice they couldn't go to a certain place, they had a vision that night of where they were supposed to go. Mm-hmm. So that says to us sometimes we need to wait on the Lord. Don't be in a hurry to do some things. Don't be, oh, I got to go. No, wait a minute. And if you be patient, God will show you what it is that you should do. And sometimes you feel like you ought to go over here. God will have something better for you going the other way. But we in our own minds want to do what? We want to do our own thing. Yeah. Now, if we don't get anything else, I want to throw another scripture in here. And I want you to remember, especially you young people, Proverbs 14 and 12. It said, there is a way that seems right to a man. It may seem right to you, but you need to pray about it first. Proverbs 14 and 12. Always hold on to it. If it look good and it seems like it's going to be good and it's too good to be true, it's probably too good to be true.
It is.
Huh?
It probably ain't true.
If it's just all that in the bag of chips, wait a minute. Hold up. Let me see what God got to say about it. Sir,
I have a question.
Sure.
This 9, 10, 10, 11 is that vision that Paul saw.
Right.
That man was telling them that come to Macedonia. So the question I have is, how is God talking to us today, as Christians today? God, we learn in the Bible that God is infallible and doesn't change through the years. Mm-hmm. The same God who was talking to Paul. Yeah.
Okay.
So how is God talking to us today as Christians?
All right. There's several different ways. Number one, God can speak to you through music. All right. You can be going along in your car, and if you're listening to certain programs and things, God can speak to you one way through that. All right. God can speak to you through other people that you respect and revere. You can get a phone call from aunt, uncle, cousin, a friend that you know that love God can speak to you and say to you a thing. I can say something to you. God can give me a word for you. You can read something somewhere, and there'll be a straight line in it. All that you're looking at, you say, you know, I never looked at it like that. But it's because God can illuminate your vision, your spirit man, so that you can see it and nobody else can see it. The only difference between here and now is the vehicles that can be used. In the Bible, God used visions and dreams. Then he can still give you a vision and a dream. You can have dreams. I have them all the time. Now, the ones that I don't listen to are the ones when it's 10 o'clock at night and I have some greens and some pork, you know. And I'm just being serious. Now, you know, when I'm praying, you know, I don't eat and do stuff like that, because food has something that will aggravate your subconscious. It's just a known fact.
That's by that. True.
But I'm saying, if you really want to hear from God, he says early is when you seek him. So if you get up at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, the first thing you do is seek God. God will impart some things to you. See, you ain't had the rest of the day to start messing with you. You know, that's why he says, seek me early while I might be found. So this is how you can still get dreams today. You can still have visions today. You can still have them. But then he still has men and women of God that can speak to you. He can speak to you through a song. And he can just talk to your inner man just like I'm talking to you. God can talk to you. But you got to have space for him to talk to you. You got to be able to put away all of the things of the world and all of the obstructions and noise that's out there. And the distractions. And God can speak to you. That help you any?
So what you say, that God can speak to you through a person. Just as what God did to Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 9, God stretched out his hands and touched Jeremiah's lips.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's what that. Then God says, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. So God can put his words in somebody's
mouth. That's right. That's right.
Now, do you know what words he'll put in your mouth? They are right here. They're right here. Now, you got to remember who Jeremiah was at the time. Jeremiah only had so much. Then, you got way more than Jeremiah got right now. Look how much more revelation God has imparted and has written down for our admonition today. Amen. So just as a prophet today, this word, this scroll, I rolled up and ate it. And it's good. It's like honey. And it's the honeycomb. I done ate it all. And I'm still eating. And I'm still eating. Because how is it going to get in unless he either touch it here or I get it here? So I've gotten it here and got it on the inside. I can't tell you anything that I've not read or not heard from God. And I can tell you off the top of my head what might seem right, but that's what I tell you about Proverbs 14 and 12. It ain't what seems right. It's what God has said is right. The scripture says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So if, like I can tell you have been, you've been rightly dividing it, he's putting words in. Mm-hmm. Now, when the scripture says that it's the Spirit of God that'll bring back to your remembrance those things that the Spirit of God has said, if you've not heard him say it through reading them or somebody preaching to you, then how is he going to bring that back? How can I write a check if I've not made a deposit? More?
Actually, I was going to say something similar to that. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit lives in you. God speaks to the Spirit, and if you're sensitive to the Spirit, he will tell you what to do. That's why it's important that you spend time, like Minister Alpha was saying, spending time in fellowship with God. Quiet time, no radio, no phone, no TV, no family members. Just you and God, one-on-one.
Amen.
He'll talk to you.
Amen.
Now when Nicodemus came, he said, I know that you are a man from God because you do things and I know the normal man can't do. He said, but I don't have a grip of that. And Jesus told him what? Said, you must be born again. He said, because if you're not born again, you can't even see the kingdom. And so what you've been asking me was, how do I get to receive this? And it's through that born again process that God takes your inner man and reverses it now and brings it into one of human to be spirit. And now, once you get into God's family, then now your eyes are opened up and you can see things. It's like having a membership to Costco's. You can't get in Costco's unless you got a membership. Even if you get in there, you can't check out because you don't have the card. You don't have a membership, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how are you gonna get the things of God unless you get a membership?
You're in the family.
And you get in the family of God by being birthed in it,
that's right?
So see. Mm-hmm. Now that you're in there, then that's when this revelation knowledge can come. And I don't want to leave out without saying this. You have to have a desire for it as yes. well. You have to have a desire to know God and to understand what God has called you to do and what God wants you to do. There's a lot of people that they just want to do things of the world. They have no idea that God has a plan for them. But you're not going to know that plan until you get born again. You're not going to see the kingdom. You're not going to get to understand it. You didn't ask to be born. You didn't. You didn't ask for the family that you have. It was all given to you by God. God knew that you were going to be a man, and God knew what he put in you before you were born. You're the one now looking in there and say, "Ooh." But guess what? There's more in there. But as you get closer to him, then he will reveal more of his plan for you. Boy, young man, you just don't know. I wish I had time to tell you. But just know God going to speak to you in a prolific way here. Very shortly. Mm-hmm. Very shortly.
Amen.
And I can tell you want it too, don't you? I know you do.
Both,
I can see it in you.
Both hungry boy.
Anybody else?
One of the simplest things that he said a few minutes ago, Minister Afro said to you a few minutes ago, I used to tell my kids this. And the way I explained to the kids about depositing money in a bank. If you don't deposit money in a bank, you can't make a withdrawal. So when he gave that illustration there about the Word of God related to depositing money, you can't, if you don't deposit something within at a certain time, you won't be able to make a withdrawal to take something out of it. It's just that simple. You have to make a deposit.
Now here's what we're not saying. Here's what we're not saying. We're not saying to you that if you don't have it, you know, it's not going to work. What we're saying to you is your life is going to be much more harder and rougher because you don't have it. All right? Just cause I don't know if it was raining when you came in. Let me just tell you, I use an illustration of this. It's going to be raining whether you have an umbrella or not. You see what I'm talking about? So if you have the umbrella, it's good that you have it. But if you don't have it, you still going to have to go out there and get wet. You see what I'm talking about? I'm just saying in life you're going to have tribulations, trials, and tests. There's stuff that's going to be going on. But God has got to wait for you to bear through all of that. And you get the glory in that to be able to pull the umbrella up and to walk through. You're going to go through, whether it's with God or without God, but God would rather have you to have him to help you go through it. And that is what he has called you to do, is to go through it with him.
Amen.
And because you do, then you'll have
yes.
a testimony.
Amen.
And from that testimony, somebody else is going to get a revelation that I can trust God
Amen.
Too.
Amen.
And that's why God picked you and picked you and picked me, because he was going to take us, you and you, to places different from him and her. And so you'll have a testimony and somebody said, I don't know how you deal with what you're dealing with. You say, it's God, like the prisoners did, right? Mm-hmm. And then they said, well, what can I do to get saved? And that's when you get to be that light and be that revelation to them. And then when they find out about it, guess what happened? They get to tell somebody else. And that's how it spread. Once you get that Holy Ghost and get that power in you. And that's what this book of Acts is all about. That's why we're doing this chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Seeing that when you look at Acts, all of the things that Jesus said came to pass because they were in one place on one accord, like he told them. The Spirit of God came and empowered them. And now you're seeing all of the rest of this, what happens with the empowerment. Well, it's 10 after 1. If y'all got any more, I'll sit here.